আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহ, নাহমাদুহু ওয়া نستাইনুহু ওয়া نستাগফিরুহু ওয়া নাউযু বিল্লাহি মিন শুরুরি আনফুসিনা ওয়া মিন সাইয়্যাতি আ'মালিনা, মান ইয়াহদিহিল্লাহু ফালা মুদিল্লালা ওয়া মান ইউদলিলহু ফালা হাদিয়ালা। আশহাদু আল লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহু ওয়াহদাহু লা শারীকা লাহু واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد ampun tongku Israel Highness, with your permission I will like to start my discussion or my lecture today. Huddin Mahbul Islam, the vice chancellor of Daffodil International University. Ladies and gentlemen, before I start, I would like to introduce myself, not because the chairman had told you a little bit about me, but my actual name is Muhammad Asri, because we see it very quite long, but my actual name is Muhammad Asri Zainal Abidin. Before that, it is a title given by the state police. And then, so if you want to call me, you call me Dr. Asri or Muhammad Asri, it's okay for me. Thank you very much. Okay. We as Muslims, we know Al-Quran and Hadith are the highest authority or the highest reference in Islam. We cannot claim something as a religious or as Islamic fact unless we have to go and refer to Quran and Sunnah. And Quran and Sunnah, today we're going to talk or to discuss on Quran, on Sunnah, the prophetic tradition. But before I start, I just want to remind you that Al-Quran, we got Al-Quran and Sunnah. This is our highest reference, highest authority in religion. We don't have so many, before we go to how to understand Quran and Sunnah in the right context, but in our topic today on Sunnah, there are two steps Muslim have to follow. The first one, you have to make sure something you want to take it as matter of facts, as a religion. You want to claim it as this is what God asked you to do, this is what God wanted you to do. You have to make sure your source is reliable or authentic. So you got Al-Quran and Sunnah. If you say something from Quran, you have to make sure they are really from Quran. You can refer to Quran in what surah and what chapter in Quran, so you know this from Quran. We got problem with some people who are not non-Arab. They don't know how to differentiate sometimes between Quran and not Quran. Everything they saw in Arabic, they think that is Quran. So especially today, we got WhatsApp, we got social media. So, but Alhamdulillah, God make things easy for us. Allah make things easy for us. There's so many programs you can refer and you can know. If you're not Hafiz, you can know this is from what chapter and what verse in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve Quran. So we don't have so many problems with Quran because there is only one version of Quran in this world. From the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to now, Allah preserved Quran. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun. Verily it is we who send down Al-Quran and we will preserve it. There is no, because I'm to make a little bit comparison. If you see in Christianity, they got a different version of Bible. They got King James, and they also got the different version of Bible. But alhamdulillah, as Muslim, we don't have different Quran. We only have one Quran. So in terms of Quran, it's very easy. You go to Iran, you go to Malaysia, you go to wherever, the Quran are the same Quran. This is the first step. But we got problem with hadith, because there are a lot of fabricated hadith in this world. Fake hadith, or what we say in Arabic is al-hadithul mawdu'a, fabricated hadith, fake hadith. Many people, starting from the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after that, after he died especially, they created a lot of hadith for their own interest. Sometimes they got good attention. They want to encourage people to do good things, but they did it by creating fake hadith, which is wrong, totally wrong, and which is a major sin in Islam. So before you claim, you say this is from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is something divine, this is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that Islam asks us to do, you have to check. The first step is you have to check the authenticity of the source. The authenticity of the source, that means you have to make sure they're really from Quran. If that's something from hadith, you have to know that it's really from the sahih hadith, not from the fake hadith. Okay. The second step is, after you establish that your source is authentic, you have to go to the second step, that you should have right interpretation of that source. If you got verse from Quran, you have to refer to the tafsir, or you have to know Arabic, refer to the tafsir, because if you are not expert in Arabic and tafsir, maybe you give the wrong interpretation of the verse. Same goes to hadith. If you have any hadith, you want to take it as a matter of fact, you have to make sure that hadith is, you put that hadith in the right interpretation. So today, I'm going to talk one of the discipline, how to understand hadith in its context. Because there's a lot of hadith very related to their context. If you try to understand them out of their context, you may be misguided. So I will give you some example, and then we will discuss this topic today. Before I go further, I would like to remind ourselves that what is the purpose of religion? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Islam to us? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be Muslim? Why Allah sent many, many of His prophets throughout of humankind history? Why? The scholars say the purpose of religion is li maslahatil ibad. Maslahatil ibad means for the benefit of the Allah servant, for the benefit of us. Allah will not get will never get any benefit from Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is free from all wants. We call Ghaniyun Hamid. Allah is free from all wants. Hamid, a worthy of all praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So religion, benefits of religion is always coming back to us. If we practice anything in religion, Allah purposely send His religion for us, not for Himself. As if we can establish this understanding, so we can understand the whole concept, the whole rulings in Islam. Anything you see in this religion, not good, again, the interest of humankind cannot be called as a religion. Even though, if some people call scholars say, you have to do this and that, this is Islam, there is Islam, but if they cannot prove this thing coming from Quran and Sunnah and the interpretation of this thing, the benefit, the maslaha is going back to human being, you cannot call it as Islam. This is very fundamental things that we have to understand. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is human being. He is not angel. He was dealing with human being. And you know, we are human being. There is two types of in our life. We got things, they are, we are consistent and universal. Like what? Human quality. Sadness, whatever, sorrow, fear. You go to Malaysia, you will find that people are same. Even there are some people, they are poor, some people, they are rich. But they got sadness, they got anger, they got joy, all this nature, universal nature in human being, they are the same. But there are things, sometimes we are different. Our circumstances, for example, our personal background, sometimes isolated cases regarding to somebody. We visited people, Rohingya people in refugee camp. The situation, the condition, the circumstances is different from us. They are under pressure. So we have people around the world, like Malaysia, for example. We got a lot of water. But some people, they are from desert. They don't have a lot of water. So in Islam, we have wudu and we have tayammum. If you can't use water, you can go to use sand. You can go to use tayammum. So this is how religion deal with people. Because religion have to cover everybody. And we see in Islam, in our prophetic tradition in hadith, before that, before I just want to remind you, when we say hadith, what do you understand hadith? What do you understand hadith in? What do you call the same word hadith or sunnah in Bangla, in Bangladeshi hadith and sunnah? Normally, when we say sunnah or hadith, what do people understand? What comes to their mind? Prophet saying, what Prophet said, is it? But we have to understand hadith or sunnah is not only the prophetic sayings, not only his sayings, also his deeds, also his approval. Sometimes we got Maulana, maybe you know better. We know that, by the way, my PhD also is on the hadith. If you see sometimes hadith, you find the prophet words. he said something and reported or narrated by his companion and his narrators, we call it hadith. Sometimes in hadith, you didn't find words of prophet, only he did. They narrated what prophet did in this and that. We call it hadith as well. Sometimes he didn't say anything, he didn't did anything, but he approved. Something happened in front of his eyes. He didn't say anything. We call it taqriran. We got qawlan wa fi'lan taqriran. Taqriran means that prophet, something happened in front of the prophet's eyes and he didn't say anything. Tacit approval, we say. Tacit approval. He approved it. Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever something bad happened, something munkar or something against the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching happened in front of his eyes and he just remained silent. No, he will respond. But he didn't say anything. We consider that is as taqrir, his approval. So when we say hadith, we have to bear in our mind two things, three things. Qawlan and saying, can you follow me or not? You can follow me or not? I'm not sure because brothers, can you follow me or not? Okay, thank you. So, okay, two, three things. His sayings and his deeds and his approval. Okay, because before we go further, otherwise you are focusing on his word, not necessarily his sayings. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, back to our topic. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he dealt with human being. And human being, some of them, they have different quality. For example, maybe I can give you in Islam, you are not allowed to donate all your wealth. You have to keep some for yourself. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, didn't want you be poor because of donation. You give everything, then you had nothing. And you put yourself in trouble. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, he did. He donated all his wealth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed him to do so. Why? Because scholars said, why only him? Because his quality of iman is totally different from the rest of the ummah. He will never regret and he can work again to have his own to earn back his own wealth. So you know that because of different quality, so sometimes the hukum or the rulings also is different. So we are going, I am going to give you some example from the sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because our chairman's context of harmony, so maybe I can give some example for you. For example, you will see in hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, إِذَا سَلَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابَ فَقُولُوا عَلَيْكُمْ. When the people of book, Jews and Christian, greet you, give you salam, reply to them, وَعَلَيْكُمْ وَعَلَيْكُمْ, just incomplete salam, وَعَلَيْكُمْ. If they say assalamu alaikum, we just like literally understanding of the hadith. If they say, Prophet say, إِذَا سَلَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, if when the people of the book, Jews and Christian, greet you, give you salam, reply to them by saying, wa alaikum, Very short. Not wa alaykum assalam. So, if we see this, that some people, I'm not sure here, you don't have a lot of non-Muslim. We in Malaysia, we got non-Muslim. And some of them, they really know to how to say salam. Especially some non-Muslim who live their living in Muslim community. Sometimes when they see you, they say, assalamu alaikum. And some people reply, because of this hadith, they say, wa alaikum. They reply in incomplete salam. But why? They say, because Prophet say that. If we, I want to answer this thing in the context of harmony, like our chairman said. If we go to Quran, we have some Maulana here, maybe they are Hufaz, and Quran say, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ 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 مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. When people greet you with greeting, reply them with what is better than it, or reply them, return it, the salam, return it equally, the same. If people say assalamu alaikum, you reply wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, better than it, or equal wa alaikum assalam. If people say to you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, how to reply it? Can we reply assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and you just say wa alaikum salam? Can it? Better than it or equal? Understood? Okay. Quran say wa idha huyitum bitahiyatin. When you, I mean, people said, give you greeting you, whatever. If someone said to you, good morning, how do you reply it? Good morning. Because Quran didn't say salam, Quran say greeting, any greeting. And good morning, how are you? How do you reply? How to say good morning in Bangladeshi? Okay. How to reply it? Better than in or equal? Understood? But Prophet say, if Jews say salam to you, you just say wa alaikum. This is not consistent with what Quran mentioned. Is it? Why? So, I give this example for you to show you that we can't decide the meaning of hadith unless we have to go to the context. We have to go to its context. And we refer this ilm, this knowledge, we call it sababul wurud, the reason and background of hadith. And I got my book in Arabic, Sababul Wurud Hadith Dawabit wa Ma'ayir. That's reason and background of hadith, the guideline to understand reason and background of hadith. Refer back to the hadith that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, just say wa alaikum. Why? Because at the Prophet time, Jews, when they came to Muslim, especially to Muslim and the Prophet himself, they give salam, which not mean the meaning is totally different. The sound is like salam. They say assalamu alaikum, not assalamu alaikum. They say assalamu alaikum. They tended to do it. Assalamu alaikum. If you're not really pay attention to the words, you say assalamu alaikum. It's not far from is similar to, is like, sound is like what? Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum means peace be upon you. But assalamu alaikum means what? Death or destruction upon you. So when they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, assalamu alaikum ya Muhammad. Or they go to Muslim at his time, at that time, Jew at that time. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, inna yahuda idha sallamu. Again, I read one hadith. If you want to understand hadith, now you got internet. Sometimes people send to you hadith. And don't conclude the meaning of any hadith unless you refer to the study on that hadith. Otherwise, you will go extreme. You will be misguided. If you refer to a hadith, there another narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna al-Yahuda idha sallamu alaykum yaqulu ahaduhum assalamu alaykum faqul alaykum faqul alayka." When the Jews greet you, they usually say assalamu alaykum, death and or destruction upon you. So replied by saying wa alaykum. There is a hadith. A group of Jews, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say assalamu alaykum. And Aisha, who is Aisha? Who is Aisha? Huh? Huh? Who is Aisha? Prophet wife, huh? Okay, we got a lot of... we have Ummu Salama, Aisha, we have... who? Hafsa, and so on and so on. Okay. Aisha was very young. Young wife. So very... I mean... So Aisha radiallahu anha, she heard, they say, assalamu alaikum. And she replied, the same word, assalamu alaikum wa la'na. Destruction, death upon you, destruction and curse upon you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha, mahlan ya Aisha. Be calm, O Aisha. Inna Allah yuhibbu rifqa fil amri kulli. Allah loves that. Allah loves that one should be kind and lenient in all matters. You see the akhlaq. So you see the quality. Even though they said assalam, a prophet said to Aisha, be calm. Allah loves that one should be lenient, that one should be kind in all matters. And Aisha said to the, have you heard? Have you heard what they said to you? And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I already say wa alaikum means that and upon you. But he didn't want to say that bad word, negative word. So he said upon you. So I want to ask you, I'm not sure in Bangladesh, do you have non-Muslim here? Yeah. If non-Muslim, they really say assalamu alaikum to you, how to reply? How do you reply the salam? Huh? Wa alaikum or wa alaikum assalam? You got confused. If they really say it in proper way, assalamu alaikum, not in the Yahud or the Jews way, they say that assalamu alaikum, how do you reply it? Wa alaikum assalam. This will be consistent to Quran. When do you reply only wa alaikum?
if they say like what Jews say in the time of prophet. So this is very important. I want to show you that understanding the context of hadith help us from falling in wrong interpretation of hadith.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I still have time or not? Few minutes? Okay. Okay. I'll go very fast. There is four influencing factors of this to understand this. First, very fast, if you can remember these four. Addressor factor. When we read hadith, there are four influencing factors that shape hadith regarding to the text and context. The first one is, we say it, al-bu'd al-mukhattibi in Arabic, mean the addressive factor. The addressive factor means that the state of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll give you an example. You know cupping, ihtijam, how you call it? Sucking blood. They're using like a cup or what they suck. You know, what do you call it in? Okay. Cupping, there is ihtijam. Al-hijama in Arabic. Some people, we say, is sunnah or not? They have the Maulana here. Sunnah or not, hijama? Sunnah. Why sunnah? Because he did it. No, people do it. People did it for him. Okay. But why? Why he did it? In hadith, he said, and reported by Al-Bukhari, he said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو محرم في رأسه من شقيقة كانت به. He did it cupping on his head because of headache. Because of headache. Headache, you know headache. Okay. Now you know why he did it. If someone just go and make cupping, he didn't have any problem. Is this sunnah or not? Sunnah or not? Sunnah or not? Is it sunnah or not? No. You have to know. No. Because not sunnah for everyone. Only who got same problem with the Prophet. If you got headache or any other illness, maybe if the hijama, cupping is one of the cure that the people tell you, maybe you can go and do it. Otherwise, there is not sunnah, you go do it for nothing. So we have to understand the state, the condition of the addresser, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And then we have to understand the condition or the facts, the fact of the addressee, Prophet addressee, the audience that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked to them, addressed to them, who been addressed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the addressee. So you have to know the condition. We see that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered the same question in different answers for the same question, because the askers, those who came to him, they are different.
If they are someone from Mecca, from town, the answer will be different. If it is someone from Bedouin, from desert, the answer will be different. Because Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he meant to make sure the level of understanding those who in front of who are asking answer from him. The third one, I will go detail if there is any question regarding this. The place factor, Medina factor, and then the time factor. And then because I know our chairman is waiting and the time is...
it's not about time actually, okay. It's about willingness to interact with you, because the students are waiting, maybe they have some question, curiosity to know more about you. Because before your arrival, we have gone through YouTube and other delivery that you are alive. And this program also broadcasting live throughout the world. Oh, it's really not that audience you're watching sitting in front of you. Yeah, it's okay. About million of audience watching this program through Campus TV, okay. www.campustv.ac. And you can send SMS to your friends in United States. They can watch it lively. And all campus is now on watching this program. And I can assure like more than 50,000 people are watching this program.
Thank
and
you.
Everyone does have question. And they are watching you and also audience. And I am actually interested to bring some audience response with you. And this morning, we got wonderful tools to attract people. Greetings. It's so powerful to connect the world, because nowadays people are disconnected many ways. They are busy with the screen, but they are not actually connected with human soul. And we are disconnected many ways. And thank you very much for spending more time on single thing that can actually ensure more peaceful world. We are failing to greet each other many ways. So I am here within you. And if you have any question, you can ask your question, even in Bengali or English, no problem. Is it okay? So that I can translate.
Yeah.
Because I know this program can be more powerful if we can overcome language barrier. But our students can, because some students from schools...
Do they understand my lecture or not?
Very much.
Really?
Did you understand?
Thank you very much.
So powerful. And they came actually across different schools, college and universities. So... any question, anything from you?
Regarding to the topic.
Regarding to the topic.
Actually, if you ask me something regarding to politics, I can't answer your question.
It's not regarding to politics. Actually, I have a request. I want to have sanad of one hadith from you. Any hadith. I want to have the sanad. I mean...
I got sanad from... Maulana Zainal Abidin Al-Azami from Saharanpur, and Maulana Al-Qasimi from Durban. So I think maybe I can see you later.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. But I some hands already raised. I will go to them.
I just want to add something. That actually, what is the rule of sanad? Normally, people think that sanad, because actually we don't need sanad anymore at this time. Sanad, if you just to get some blessing, maybe. But the rule of sanad is to make sure that hadith is sahih or not sahih. Authentic hadith. Like Al-Bukhari for himself, when he said that haddasani humaydi, for example, then he said after that, and he said haddasani Sufyan, and he said that haddasani Yahya bin Sa'id, and from Yahya bin Sa'id haddasani Muhammad bin Ibrahim Al-Taymi, from Muhammad bin Ibrahim Al-Taymi he said haddasana Al-Qamah bin Waqas, from Al-Qamah bin Waqas he said I heard Umar bin Khattab on his minbar, and he said this is sanad, this is the first hadith in Bukhari. Why they put sanad? Because they want to know, to do study, those narrators, are they reliable or not reliable? But if you did do study on us today, on you and me, the hadith will be fake hadith. The hadith will be weak hadith.
Because we are not reliable narrators. So this is different. But sometimes we are not really happy when people just thinking about looking for sanad was the current sanad. We don't need this current sanad. If you just are looking for current sanad to make like something blessing, and this is what Ibn Salah said. He said looking for blessing, but not looking for to make sure hadith, to study on hadith, to find the authenticity of hadith. Only sanad from Bukhari up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Thank you.
Not from Bukhari to us. We don't need it.
Thank you, sir. And I'm sure our crown prince is missing beautiful faces. So ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome our crown prince along with chairman, board of trustees, honorable vice chancellor and honorable pro vice chancellor on stage, so that you can watch our beautiful faces from stage. It is all about greetings. So do you like the idea of having them on stage? Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Because I was trying to see their gesture. They were trying to see Crown Prince from that other part of the audience. Thank you. So question is here. Question or compliment?
Okay. Question hello. Je amra jara non mane Islam somporke oto beshi obogoto noy, to tara kibhabe bujbo je fake hadith kunta ar ashol hadith kunta?
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So the question of mine that the ordinary people, how can determine that the hadith is sahih or fake in easy way?
Actually, the question was same from both party. Same question. How, as a simple person or as a non-Muslim,
how to know that hadith are authentic or not authentic in very simple way? That is the question.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. As a layman who are not studying hadith, first you can go to, because nowadays people got you get internet, they put all this authentic hadith internet. So you need to know the Arabic word and that hadith. You put it and the hadith will appear, the status of hadith. Not really reliable, but it's okay for laymen. But for those who are really specialists in hadith, they need to go further to know many. There is Illah and Shah, so many disciplines hadith. Okay. There is a good book by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah. This book is titled is Al-Manarul Munif Fi Sahih Wa Da'if. This book, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned how the qualities of hadith. He mentioned he described what hadith, the fake hadith is. How, like some hadith, when he said that when the date of Yawm al-Qiyamah, if someone said the Yawm al-Qiyamah, you make viral, 2024 will be the Yawm al-Qiyamah. We know this is a fake hadith. Because that is again what the prophet replied to Jibril. Know you, neither know you nor me know the time of Qiyamah. So some hadith only looking to the it text or their text, you know that hadith is a fabricated hadith. Go to the book of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim. I sure that it's already translated to your language. Al-Manarul Munif. Thank you very much.
আমি শুনেছি যে আমাদের লাস্ট খলিফা যে ছিল সে জাস্ট হচ্ছে আমাদের কুরআনটা সংরক্ষণ করে সমস্ত ডকুমেন্ট মানে বার্ন করে দিয়েছিল। তো যদি বার্ন করে দেওয়া হয় সমস্ত ডকুমেন্ট শুধু কুরআন ছাড়া মুহাম্মদ সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি এর মৃত্যুর পরে, তাহলে প্রথম হাদিস কিভাবে আসলো, কত বছর পরে আসলো মুহাম্মদ সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি এর মৃত্যুর পরে?
She came to know that the last khalifa, she does have some information about, like, the last khalifa burn all other documents just by keeping the Quran, Holy Quran.
Last Khalifa?
Yeah. Third Caliph. As per her statement, it's a bar. Yeah, so her question is, when and how we got Hadith, if everything burned?
Not everything burned, no. Osman only asked to burn different qira'ah from the Quraysh qira'ah. That is only in Quran, the written Quran by some Sahaba. They wrote Quran for their own self, and they wrote in some qira'ah, because this is ilmu qira'ah. You have to understand. So Osman want to make sure that everything in the proper Quran. Some of them maybe got wrong, or they maybe, so because of that, he asked to burn the rest and keep the authentic one. And the authentic one is not worked by only him, but Zayd and the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they're focusing on this. So there's nothing to do with hadith. Because there are hadith, written hadith, we can have like a written hadith by Abdullah bin Amr bin As in Musnad Ahmad, for example. We written hadith some Abu Shah, Uktub li Abi Shah in hadith. Prophet asked to write for Abu Shah. So there is hadith still. And you know the Arab, the memory is very strong. They can memorize many things. They memorizing Quran and memorizing hadith. So you know that, there is discipline you have to know. You have to go. How people differentiate between sahih and not sahih. Very detailed ilm.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Another question from here.
Assalamu alaikum. My question is about the preference of women in the mosque. I heard that the Prophet Muhammad said that if any woman wants to go to mosque to pray, so no one can stop her. But our second Khalifa, Umar bin al-Khattab, said that I heard that he used to stop his wife so to go to mosque. So I want that answer.
Can you, I'm so sorry, because can you repeat it again?
About the woman prayer in mosque.
Okay.
Masjid, I want to say.
Should they go to mosque or not?
Yes.
I don't want to disturb your mother.
I heard that if any woman wants to pray in mosque, so there is no one can stop her. So
and Prophet said, "La tamna'u ima Allah min masajidillah."
Yes.
Don't stop women from going to the mosque.
Yeah.
There is a hadith, authentic hadith in Bukhari. Yes. If you have a very good book written, very good article in English, I from India, Dr. Nadwi Laknawi, he from Oxford, he translated article from Al Imam Ibn Hazm Al Andalusi regarding this topic. Al Imam Ibn Hazm said, like men should go to mosque for prophet for salatul jamaah, and women should go to. Good, from the great scholar of Andalus, Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi. So don't stop women from going to the mosque.
But in different schools of thought, many ulama said that no, they can't go.
They prophet say, "La tamna'u ima Allah min masajidillah." Don't stop women from going to mosque.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I think we already 15 minutes. Okay, the last question.
Last question.
Yeah.
I think more questions in their mind. If you allow, we will open a forum, because we have a wonderful forum to ask questions in the university, so you can answer later on.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salaam.
Sir, I would like to ask you that actually we know it that there are a lot of people who wear their pants or izar in such a way that the pants touches the soil or it crosses the top bottom level of the leg. And we know that it is strictly forbidden to the views of Islam. And we also know the punishment of doing these kinds of event. But I would like to know from you that...
I'm so sorry because...
I would like to know from you that here what is the context of harmony from the views of Islam? That why has Islam forbidden to wear in such a way? So that the izhar or pants touches the soil or crosses or reaches the bottom point of the leg. We obey, we believe always, but I know from you only the context of harmony from the views of Islam. Thank you, sir.
Because thank you very much for the question. This is a different view among the scholars on that particular topic. But if you ask me, I respect the others' opinion, but if you ask me, I agree with those who say that because the illah, why Prophet, didn't allow you to have that kind of the hadith say ma tahta ka'bayn fannaru awla biha. Why? Because of arrogance. At that time, this is sign of arrogance in the Arab community. They got very long jubah, long kurta, showing people who they are. So this is hadith regarding to this. This is what Al Imam Al Bayhaqi and some scholars understood from the hadith. Maybe you will find some people they don't agree with that. They've understood the hadith literally. They said that the hadith you have to up your trouser, otherwise you are in nar, in hell. I respect them, but if this is your interpretation, and the nas is, the text is open to be interpreted in many ways. If you take that is your interpretation, this is for yourself, and maybe the other people, they have their own interpretation for themselves. We respect each other as long as the text, the understanding, the interpretation is not qat'i. Qat'i means something no more than one interpretation. Like a khamar, alcoholic, haram. No, we don't have two interpretations. Like five prayers, wajib, fardu ain, no interpretation. You can say 5 minutes, mean 5 minutes. So no. 5 minutes, 5 times. Like a fasting in Ramadan, they say qat'iyatu dilala, that the meanings, the didala is very clear. But this thing on whatever in this sort of fiqh, we can have more than one interpretation. So if someone have their own, you say I respect you. Do you if you understand that is your understanding. So you don't do it. Maybe some people, they have different interpretation, so they will have their own. I think that's it. Can you harmonize the all of them? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And it's true that harmony requires tolerance.
Yeah.
Tolerance with others. And thank you, sir. Just we have few minutes for you again. And maybe 10 minutes to articulate the whole things, and then we can go for other part of the program.
Okay, thank you very much. Because I would like to continue a little bit my lecture. I want to give you some example. Address factor. How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he addressed his hadith, he take into account his addresser, his target audience.
There is hadith Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. He said, "Kunna 'inda an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam." We were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And faja'a shabun, when a youth came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, waqal, and say, "Uqabbilu wa ana sa'im." May I kiss my wife while I am fasting? He's a young youth. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A youth came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Prophet said, "No, no, you cannot do it." And then, after a while, faja'a shaykhun, old man, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the same majlis, and he asked the same question: "Uqabbilu wa ana sa'im? May I kiss my wife while I am fasting?" And the Prophet said, "Yes, naam." And then the companion, the Sahaba, they began looking each other. Why different answer? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam look at them and said, "Inna shaykha yamliku nafsa." The old man is able to control himself. So this hadith showing what? Showing that we have to know our audience. So Prophet, the same question coming from two individual different people, the answer is different because of their different background. This what we call is al-bu'du al-mukhatabi. I mean the background, the addressee factor. So you find the same cases in the last example before I close. Maybe you have to go to your lunch or what. So there is hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "La tuqta'u aidi fil ghazwi." I don't know. I don't want to touch what you have here in your understanding regarding to this topic. But I just want to give this example because we in Malaysia got this kind of problem in understanding some hadith. Prophet say, "La tuqta'u aidi fil ghazwi." Mean he said that hand should not be cut off while in the battle. You know, cutting hand because the punishment. Prophet say, don't. If you are in battle, Ghazwal, don't cut him. And other narration, he said that "La tuqta'u aidi fi safar." Hand should not be cut off while traveling. Al Imam Al Awza'i, he said, why Prophet didn't allow it? He said the wisdom behind this order is to avoid criminals running away and joining the enemy. So the place factor in our time today, Muslim, if you apply this kind of punishment, many people will run away from Islam and joining the enemy and criticizing Islam and say bad thing against religion. And our condition is not conducive. Muslim government are not very strong. And non-Muslim, they are the one who control the media and everything in this world. So if you ask me, should we apply this kind of punishment, Islamic punishment? I say no. Not why? Because we are following what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say. To avoid people, to avoid criminal. In our case, I think to avoid Muslim themselves from running away and joining the enemy. So, understanding the text and context is very important in this time in order to understand the hadith or the prophetic tradition. Thank you very much. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.